That gospel song certainly brings out the message of salvation, what the scripture is all about. The Old Testament types, the New Testament fulfillment in Christ who came to die for us. I'm glad today that I can say I'm depending on the blood. I hope you can say that, because that is real Christianity, depending on the blood of the Lamb. We're going to read the scriptures today from Genesis chapter 30 and a part of Genesis chapter 31, beginning in the midst of chapter 30. At verse 25. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 25. Let us notice very carefully God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. Genesis 30, 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. Isn't that interesting that Jacob, Israel, in his own person said, let me go. And then 400 years later, his descendant, Moses, said, let my people go, speaking for the Lord. Verse 27, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now, isn't that amazing? Because so many people would love to crucify Jacob for the way that he acted. But this man, his uncle, said, I have learned by experience that Jehovah hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? Jacob had a very modest request. Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And of such shall be my hire. You know, the ugly ones, the pretty white sheep, I'm not going to bother them. All your nice, solid colored goats, I won't bother them. Just the model, the spotted, those that don't look so pretty as these others. I'll just take those. That's all I want. And then verse 33. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. What a liar. Look what he did. Immediately, he sneaks around and does what Jacob said he wanted to do. This is Laban. Verse 35. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. He said, take them, boys, and get out of here before Jacob sees them. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Well, there they go. What I wanted, he's already pulled them out. The old sly fox, he's done it again. That's what he said, no doubt in his mind, about his uncle Laban. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree. And it says pilled here, like you were going to swallow it. No, it's actually P-E-E-L-E-D. It would be in our modern way of thinking. And he peeled white strakes in them and made the white appear, which was in the rods. It's like striped rods. And he set the rods, which he had peeled, before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs. And the flocks came to drink, and that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-straight, speckled, and spotted. Now, I don't recommend you try this, because unless you have great faith like Jacob had, it won't work. All right. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not under Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Now the idea was, if these animals are breeding and they're looking at these stripes, rods, then of course their offspring is going to be striped and spotted and all this stuff. Well, verse 43, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. Chapter 31, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. They're just like their father. Liars. They had already taken away the cattle and moved it 3 days' journey away. And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. He was getting angry because God was blessing Jacob. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him, or allowed him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring-straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring-straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and hath given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, are ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered him, said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep. And Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian. in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, that is the Euphrates, and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. Amen. We end our reading there with verse 21. And we trust that today the Lord will take this ancient scripture, which he himself had breathed in olden times, and cause this word to be of a lasting spiritual and eternal benefit to all our hearts today for Jesus' sake. Very unusual scripture. But the promises of God are very evident in this passage. The promises that God made to Jacob, they are certain, they are unshakable, and the promises of God remain as absolutely certain and unshakable today for us. The Lord had promised Jacob that he would be with him, that he would protect him, that he would also prosper him. And do we not see that here? These promises were given him long before he ever got to his uncle Laban's house. So it was a sure thing that while he was there with his uncle Laban, no matter how smart, how astutely the businessman his uncle Laban was, that he would himself prosper. He would be protected from that man during those many, many years that he stayed there. It would have been better, of course, if Jacob had been a man of prayer, if Jacob had been a man of faith and sacrifices and communing with God all during that time while he was there with his uncle. We don't read that. You go through the passage there and even back further, you'll not find Jacob setting up an altar in Padan Aram. You'll not find anything about his praying there. But the promises of God made to Jacob were not if promises. I would dare you to find an if in the promises that God made to Jacob back there at Bethel. He didn't say, if Jacob's faithful, then I'll bless him. Well, if Jacob had been faithful, certainly it would have been even better for him. But God's covenant promises are still sure, and they're not dependent on sinful men for their fulfilling. Let me say that. These covenant promises are not dependent on man for their fulfillment. When God promised Adam and Eve that the Messiah, the woman's seed, would come into the world, God did not say, I will send him if you're faithful and if you keep my word. If that had been the case, we never would have received a Messiah into this world. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Why? He cannot deny himself. Now, I want to say there are promises in God's word that are not if promises. There are promises in God's word that are if promises. We must learn to distinguish between the two. God is immutable. He is faithful. He will do all his pleasure. He will fulfill all his covenant promises, even often at times in spite of us. Can anyone here raise their hand and say, I am blessed today because I have lived faithfully to God. I have been all that I should be for the Lord. Therefore, I am blessed. Anybody? I think we're honest with ourselves. We can't say, I've got all the marks in my favor. No. Well, we have a faithful God. We do not read of any altar, any prayer, any sacrifice, any communion that Jacob had with God during his 20 years in Padan Aram. If Jacob had forgotten God, we can be sure of this. God did not forget Jacob. God is true. He is faithful to His Word. So let every believer remember God's faithfulness. Even when we are enduring the manifold trials that Peter wrote about in his first epistle. You ever have trials? Anybody here ever have trials? Well, Peter says, God is faithful even when we're having manifold trials, meaning many different varied kinds of trials. God is still faithful. So for the encouragement of our hearts today, we are looking at God's faithfulness to Jacob. Let us note God's goodness to Jacob as seen in three things that we have read this morning. Three things. Jacob's desire. He had a desire. He wanted to go back home. We also read of Jacob's defense. Who defended him? He was smart, but his uncle was pretty smart too. And his uncle often outwitted him. But it was the Lord who was his defense. And then we read of his departure. When is it right? When is it wise? When is it the will of God to depart from a location? First of all, Jacob's desire. Notice there in chapter 30, verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne to Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and children for whom I've served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. Jacob wanted to go home. Jacob had a desire to leave for several reasons. We're going to look at a few of these reasons. He wanted to return to his own place. He said, mine own place, verse 25, home has a natural attraction. Are any of you young people glad to be home today? Okay, I see some that are actually glad to be home today. Yeah, there's no place like home. There's a natural attraction to home. And he desired to see his family, his near kin. He had been with distant relatives. Now he wants to see his family, his close loved ones. Another reason that he wanted to leave, he couldn't see any future where he was. There with Uncle Laban, Uncle Laban's children, his cousins, his, all these boys that were taking care of the animals, they needed those pastures for their own cattle. And in verse 25, there was a moment that came in Jacob's experience that really stirred up that desire. It's time to go. Verse 25, it came to pass when baby number 11 was born. Son number 11 was a son. That is the number of the son. The 11th son was born. Jacob was impressed with the need to prepare for their future. And you know, it's right for a father to make provision for his children's future. 1 Timothy 5:8. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It was right for him to think of his children's future, and there was no future for them there. Another reason he desired to leave was Jacob did not trust his uncle Laban. Laban had deceived Jacob in the past. And he could not trust his uncle in the future. Now, here is a point of great importance for every one of us. Personal integrity, faithfulness to your word, and the right treatment of others. Let's note this. If we are not true to our word, there are two things that are true about other people. People will not trust us, and they will not want to be with us. He's going to do that to me again. Another sly one's going to come over me. Okay. In response to Jacob's desire to leave, Laban said. He begged him to stay. Oh, please, please, tarry. Don't go. I know that I'm blessed because of you. It was as though Laban's life before Jacob's coming had been very hard. He had been barely surviving. Because remember what Jacob said? You only had a little when I came, but now you've got a lot. Laban confessed then in verse 27. Notice what he said after he begged Jacob to stay. After he said, tarry, verse 27, for I have learned by experience, the experience of 20 years, that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now there is the germ of the gospel. There it is right there. He said, Jacob, I know that I've been blessed, and I've not been blessed for myself. I've been blessed for your sake, because God has some kind of special relationship with you. Laban had not been blessed for anything that he had done. He realized that over the decades that Jacob had been there, that he was blessed. Laban confessed that Jehovah had blessed him for the sake of another. And is that not the gospel? Jehovah blessing us for the sake of another. Here is the cutting edge of the gospel. God was teaching His people that we are blessed for the sake of another. This is indeed the truth that's declared in the New Testament. It's declared in the Old Testament, but it's declared in the New. Ephesians 4:32. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We are forgiven for the sake of another. God blessed Laban for Jacob's sake. You remember in Genesis later on, in Potiphar's house, down in Egypt, when Jacob's son Joseph was there. The scripture tells us in Genesis 39:15 that God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. Joseph was there. And then we read various times in the Old Testament that some were blessed because of another's sake. Mephibosheth was blessed because of Jonathan's sake, for Jonathan's sake. We are saved by God, not for any work that we have done, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, not for any merit of our own. All these instances are to teach us that God really blesses us for the sake of another. We are blessed because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Now, there is salvation. We were singing about it. I'm depending on the blood. Not my blood, the blood of another. Are you resting today alone for the forgiveness of your sins on Christ? Are you forgiven for Christ's sake? That's the only way we can be saved, because He has earned that forgiveness for us. He has earned that forgiveness for me. He has earned that forgiveness for you. We are forgiven. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Well, we've considered Jacob's desire. He had a desire to leave. Now Jacob's defense. Laban made Jacob a new offer. You notice what he agreed? Okay, we'll work this out. You just get the spotted ones, the model-looking ones, the grizzled ones, the ugly ones. You get all them, and I'll keep the pretty ones. So he offered, Jacob then said, I'll do that. I'll receive these for my wages, these strangely colored cattle. Laban pretended to agree, but he quickly removed all the strangely colored animals from his herds and flocks and took them a three-day journey. Boys, get far, far away. I don't want Jacob to see these or touch them. Jacob then had an outlandish plan. Now, I'm going to say this was a very outlandish plan that Jacob had about peeling these saplings and getting all these poles and these rods and putting them in the troughs. But let me say this. It's very obviously it was associated with faith. He was doing this and he was trusting God to bless him because God had promised to bless him. He said, God, I ain't got much time left here, but if you'll do this, I'm gonna put these things out there. I'm going to take these poplar and hazel and chestnut saplings and set these striped rods in the watering troughs. And he believed that God would prosper him and give him a multitude of these strangely colored offspring from all the different kinds of animals. So God then communicated in a dream to Jacob that he was blessing Jacob's plan. And he caused the multitude of those strangely colored cattle to be born. If you look there, what the chapter 30 tells us, the Lord did bless him. In verse, here we go. There it is. I'm looking at this chapter. All right. It's in chapter 31. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. Now, who is the angel of God? Not an angel of God. The word in the Hebrew is much like it is in the Greek because it's translated either a messenger or an angel. Same we find in the minor prophets, the messenger of the covenant that we delight in. It is the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance to Jacob in a dream. And he says to him, lift up now thine eyes, verse 12 of chapter 31, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm the one blessing you, even in regard to these animals. So what happened? What was the end result? Jacob got a wonderful group of animals here. Look at verse 43 of chapter 30. Verse 43 of chapter 30, speaking of Jacob, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. He increased exceedingly. He was a vast number, not only of livestock, but of men servants and maidservants. How wonderful. God blessed him. It was the Lord. God communicated this blessing to him. And Jacob realized, as the Lord had so blessed him, that his uncle wasn't real happy about it. He could see the way his uncle looked at him. And then the boys started talking. Jacob's cousins, well, his wife's, I'm sorry, yes, it would be his first cousins, those boys started talking, and they looked on Jacob as one who had stolen their father's wealth. You see that word glory, what they said at the beginning of chapter 31, verse 1, they said, that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. That's the Hebrew word kavod. Kavod means heavy. It means a great weight. It means such a great weight of wealth that you're going to have a lot of camels to carry it away. So it was good that Jacob had a lot of substance. I mean, it wasn't some kind of gas, but it was solid wealth in the form of various kinds of animals that God had provided him. And God had provided him servants to take care of all these animals. So there was a great weight of this substance that Jacob had amassed from his uncle Laban. Surely if the Lord had not protected Jacob and been his defense, his family and his property, Laban would have taken from him. You look at chapter 31 and verse 42. Jacob says it right to his uncle's face. He said, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. You would have been just as happy for me to go away the way that I came to you, Uncle Laban. The only one who protected me, the only one who was my defense, it was the Lord. The God of my fathers was with me. And He's the one that prospered me. The Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty. Job 22, verse 25. What do we learn? God keeps His promises. Jacob had a desire. God was his defense. And now let's look at his departure. Jacob said, I'm going to get out of here. While the getting is good, I'm leaving. Obviously, Jacob wanted to return to his own country. He'd been with Laban for 20 years. Jacob believed that the time had come. God's hand had been with him in guiding him to Uncle Laban's home those many, many years before. The providence of God led him right to that very well where his cousin, who became his wife, brought the sheep for watering. How then could Jacob be sure of the will of God in leaving? That's an important question. How could Jacob be absolutely sure of the will of God in leaving? You know, we're a very mobile society. We get up and go far more often than suits my constitution. I really like to, I'm a homebody, basically. And I would just stay at home if I wasn't made to go other places. But how do we know when it is the will of God for us to change places? Okay. In answering this question, every believer can gain a biblical perspective of how to know the will of God. There was a great preacher in England many years ago by the name of Andrew Fuller. Andrew Fuller said, in all our moves, we must so conduct ourselves that we may know God's presence and blessing. Otherwise, we may flee one trouble, yet fall into many more and be less able to endure them. You know the old saying, getting out of the frying pan into the fire? Well, Jacob knew the will of God about leaving Laban because there were several indications. When we get ready to change, I'm going to change jobs. I'm going to change where I live. I don't even like this place anymore. I'm going somewhere else. Okay. When we do all these things, circumstances were such that it indicated to Jacob that it would be dangerous for him to stay where he was. His uncle was looking at him. His cousins were looking at him. And Jacob knew that if he didn't make a move, he was going to lose what he had. Of course, God had promised him. But did that mean, well, I'm just going to lie down here. You boys walk all over me all you want to. Hey, stop a little bit right here. You haven't hit this ear yet. Get this side too while you're walking on me. No, he didn't have to be stupid. I mean, he could see the circumstances where it would be dangerous for him and for his family to continue on where they were because the family was not friendly with them anymore. And even Laban's daughters. So our dad, all he wants is just take everything we've got. Okay. So Jacob knew by the circumstances that it would be dangerous to continue where he was. Number one. Number two, good counsel. It is it is wise not just to say, boing, I got this brilliant idea. No, go to somebody who's got their head kind of screwed on straight and say, oh, what do we need to do? Get good counsel. So he went to a couple of counselors that he could trust, Rachel and Leah. In chapter 31, he went to his wives. In verse 4, Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field. Come on there. I don't want to be around the house. I don't want anybody to hear what we're talking about. Give me some good advice. What do you think about what my plan is? It's a good thing. We don't normally seek counsel of our wives, but it's good to. I don't know how many times I could have kept from messing up if I just listened to my wife. So there's a matter. Okay, good counsel. He was getting good counsel from his wives. The third thing is the overwhelming conviction, the inner compulsion of the heart and the conscience. He just knew it was time to go. All these things are good. They're good indicators. But none of them are the final answer. What is the real answer? You can still bring yourself into manifold miseries unless you have a clear word of Scripture applied to your heart by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, we should be so immersed in the Scriptures that the Scriptures speak to us about everything that we do in our lives. Jacob had that clear word from God. If you look at chapter 31, verse 3, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." All right. Look at verse 13. What does the Lord say? "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." Get out. It's time to go. When he heard God's voice, what did he do? He rose up and he obeyed. Verse 17, "Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels." That'd take quite a few camels to put his wives and children on. And I don't know how many humps they had, if they had one hump camels or two humps, but he had to put them on there. It's time to go. All right. The time was right. Who said go? Did God say, you know, go check with Uncle Laban? Well, they knew Uncle Laban was out there shearing sheep a ways off. And the fear was, if we don't do something now, he's going to take everything. He won't let me take the animals with me. So the time was right. Verse 19 of chapter 31, "And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were fathers." Now that may not seem really good that she took these things. All right. This was the opportunity to give this very large family with their extensive flocks and herds a good head start to get across the river in case Grandpa, Uncle Laban, Daddy pursued after them. Rachel took her father's images, or his teraphim, the Hebrew word is. What were these things? Remember, they lived in Padan Aram. And they used these little idols in an occult fashion to seek to find out about the future, to get direction. You know who one of the descendants from Aram was that did this kind of thing? He had dealings with the occult, and he had some kind of knowledge of Jehovah. His name was Balaam. Balaam was from Aram. May have been one of Laban's descendants. I don't know. But Rachel took her father's images or teraphim so that by means of these occult things, Laban would not immediately be able to discern. Which way did they go? What road did they take? So Jacob got them all safely across the river and moved across the desert. Verse 21, he headed toward Mount Gilead. We're going. We're going to cross this wilderness, this desert. All right. That's the events that took place. But how are we to profit from these things? First of all, we learn from Laban that we are blessed for the sake of another. We are forgiven for Christ's sake. Because of His person, because of His work, we are saved. Not because of our own person, not because of our own works. Salvation is graciously bestowed for the sake of Jesus Christ. I ask you, can you confess to God the Father that you are blessed, that you were saved today for Christ's sake? He has blessed you. Second thing we can learn. As believers, we are protected, we are provided for by the Lord, so that we can say, the Almighty is our defense. That's a wonderful experience, wonderful sense to know that the Lord is guarding you. Not only guarding your body, it's a wonderful thing to be guarded physically, but to have your mind, your inner man guarded by God as well. To know the good hand of God upon you, protecting you and providing for you. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't want to live in a cold, dark, cruel, depraved world without the sense that God, in His sovereign, almighty way, is protecting me and providing for me. It's a dangerous world to live in without God. Third thing that we learn, as we seek to know God's will, and as we desire to do His will, let us submit every decision to the Lord in prayer. Let us get godly counsel about every big decision. Let us yield to providence as He guides us. And let us seek a special word from the Lord to give us sure and certain light and guidance for our way. Let us pray together. O God, we thank Thee for Thy word. The entrance of Thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Lord, we confess our simplicity, that there are so many situations we cannot understand, so many perplexing circumstances, so many parts that enter into the equation of life that we do not know, and Thou knowest all things. We pray that Thou will give us grace to seek Thee and to trust Thee, not only for our salvation, for Christ's sake, but to seek Thee and to submit to Thee every day in everything that providence brings to us on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. Help us, Lord, to live in peace, in gratitude, and in faith, because Thou art our God. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.